Welcome to The Watching Dead, the officially unofficial podcast for The Walking Dead. I said Walking Dead twice. I'll say it again. The Watching Dead on walkingdead.com. I'm Jim. This is the last episode. Hey, Aaron, how's it going, man?
It's going pretty good. It's pretty good. seeing you struggle through the intro, like our survivors struggled through the finale. Highly entertaining.
Yep. I delivered that intro like I'm walking through a herd of walkers, and I can only speak in coded language.
Didn't bother putting the gore on your face. You just
went out there. I'm taking my hood down, too. It's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taking my hood down, taking the intro down. Hey, Ron, we're back for another episode of Feedback. The final.
Yeah.
Season 10, episode 16.
We've got the long form, the uncut, the pure, the unstepped on, the Walter White 99.1% pure long form Watching Dead of BaldMove.com feedback. We've been saving it up, distilling it.
Talking about those emails.
Half season long.
And we also have some stepped on. I'm going to run with your analogy here. Some stepped on bullshit. In the form of stereo.com voice feedback, apparently.
No, that's the good stuff.
Mostly baking powder.
Got that pandemic. Oh, that's a little too soon. The wire. Coming back from 20 years in the past with the pandemic. Maybe we should get to the emails. We shouldn't dwell anymore on our inept introductions.
Yeah, we'll start off with emails because it's been a while. It's been, 8 weeks since we've considered email feedback? So people have a lot to say.
A while, yeah.
I apologize to some people whose emails were very dry pie at this point, because like I said, 8 weeks.
It happens.
It's a long time to go, and a lot of stuff has been resolved in those 8 weeks. So
Not yet been Tupperware devised that can keep pie moist for 8 whole weeks.
No.
When you're talking about episodes that aired 18 months ago, that's just a lot of, a lot of freshness problems with those classic dry pie issues.
And I want to apologize personally to Yusef because I had to cut his email because I simply did not have time to get to it this morning. And it was very long and there were some good points made, but I did not have time to cut it down. So. With that said, we've got like 6 or 7 emails here that we're going to get through, and then we'll get to the voicemail feedback.
Let's do two and then do it. Let's splice them together. Yeah, I am. Christ. Yeah, that sounds way more interesting than just reading six and doing yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Let's interleave these things.
Sure. Why not? Let's make my job twice as hard. Okay. Here we go. We're starting off with double T. Double T. Says, just wanted to share some general spoiler-free thoughts on the 6 extra season 10 episodes. I thought they were great. Well, 5 of them at least. They're very light on plot and action, but all about character development. They're very well written and acted. I think a way to gauge whether you'll like these is how you feel about the Breaking Bad episode, The Fly. If you like that, you'll really appreciate these episodes. If you thought it was slow and boring, same result here. Double T goes on. Also, Jim, I think we have an answer as to why the music choices have been so terrible as of late. Seems they blew almost their entire music rights budget on the final of the bonus episodes, which happens to be among the best ever episodes of The Walking Dead.
Oh, I thought he was going to say that they blew it all on burning down the house. I'm like, wow.
No. No, we haven't gotten to that.
I bet that's an expensive get, though. I bet that's a somewhat expensive get.
It's more expensive than getting Emily Kinney's refried tracks.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you know about this? Can I just go directly to Josh's email? Because he wrote in to tell us more about this Half Moon Live stuff. So Josh says, listening to your podcast about season 10, episode 14, titled Look at the Flowers, I couldn't help myself but give some insight on Beta. The song the Beta plays to attract walkers is called I Went to the Well from an in-universe album called Half Moon Live, which, of course, they show in that episode. The song in the show is actually sung by Ryan Hurst, the actor who portrays Beta. Ryan was the one who decided that Beta's pre-apocalyptic history was going to be, the singer instead of the basketball player. Ryan Hurst based Beta's Pre-Apocalypse Country singing off of Garth Brooks, which is okay, sure. The song that is being sung was actually being listened to in season 10, episode 5 by Yumiko, and over on Fear the Walking Dead, Half Moon has made some appearances as well. The song itself is written and originally sung by Emily Kinney, the actor who portrayed Beth. The original song is called The Turtle and the Monkey, which was a slightly altered version to be sung by Ryan Hurst for Walking Dead. That's wild, man.
Yeah, I thought they had just gone dumpster diving at the Starbucks like they usually do for. But like, OK, is that a rung up or rung down,
man? How old is Emily Kinney? Can I disparage?
She's like 25. Oh, no, she's a full ass adult. I know,
she was
35.
Like 25 when she was playing Beth. So. All right. Then, yeah, it's a
does
rundown.
She have a career? Does she have a music career? Because like that song wasn't terrible.
I didn't like it. But, and there's a YouTube version of Emily Kinney's original song if you want to go searching for that, The Turtle and the Monkey. But I don't know. I saw her sing briefly at Walker Stalker Con one year when we went.
Mm-hmm.
And she was good. I don't think she's a bad singer. It's not my favorite song in the world. It's Starbucks.
Sounds like she has a lot of country western or.
Oh, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. She was doing more of like a pop kind of thing when I saw her.
Ah, play. That's what it says. Genre pop.
Yeah. So they might have like countrified it for Beta.
Or maybe Half Moon's going through a Chris Gaines kind of.
Yeah.
Moment. Yeah. He's switching over. He's Taylor Swift.
Grow the goatee. I mean, this guy had a goatee for sure. Plus some.
Yeah. Trying to transition out of country western.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. And that feels so Walking Dead, right? Like, yeah. Hey, we got somebody who records music. Let's do a cover version of their shit, which, you know, is good and bad because it means you're probably not getting the absolute best music if you're just using your friend's music. But it also means you've got a group of people who like and respect each other and do cool things together, which I always appreciate. So The Walking Dead is good about that, right?
We can't talk because our theme song is just your brother with a drum machine grooving on some guitar licks. So we're not above using friends and family music too. Yeah. Oh, I thought it was a drum machine.
No, they recorded out with a full ass drum setup, man. I saw the place.
Damn. All right. Well, fuck me then. Yeah.
That's definitely Emily Kinney's song in a Starbucks.
Easily.
Yeah. It'd be too hard for those Starbucks people. They couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm. Just keep it in stock and fly off the shelves. People just be like zombies flocking to just give us the fucking Walking Dead theme.
All right. Casey from Pittsburgh says, I've waited 9 weeks to ask this question, hoping you will say something, and I hope I didn't miss it. I apologize, Casey, because I couldn't detect the question here. Let's see if we can find a question in this. You gave the nod of approval to the new opening credits animation, showing the passage of time with new growth on the trees, Daryl's bike, etc. Even a shout out to Rick blowing the bridge. But I didn't hear you mention the Whisperer holding a knife behind the walkers walking towards the windmill. I thought it was a cool switch up they made once the group was introduced. After you mentioned this, I went back and I watched it because I tend to skip all intros for all TV shows. It's just time I don't want to spend. I will watch it like once when it first drops and then I'm done with it. Don't show me that every week. And so I usually skip it, but I went back and I looked at it and there's a lot of stuff in there. There's like the cemetery where Jesus died. There's like a fake out that they're trying to do with Daryl, I think, because they show a skull with a pitchfork in it and Daryl's crossbows laying next to it and his brass knucks and knife are laying next to it. And it's like, okay, I see what you tried there. Nobody believes that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since your marketing team ruined it with the spinoff.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in there.
Yeah, I thought it's a really cool style. And like I said, even with the obvious death motifs around things like Daryl's crossbow, it's the flowers growing through it kind of like, you know, and honestly, yeah, like that sets up the theme because like I think Daryl's character grew a lot in season 10. Mm-hmm. Like, that character had been coasting on his bangs and how cool he used to be in the first few seasons for so fucking long. It was a goddamn shame.
Coasting on Rick's coattails, like, man.
Getting rid of Rick is the best thing to ever happen to Daryl. And I think they could have done a better job with Daryl, but, like, it's just tough because he's not a comic book character. They have to give him things to do, and all the things they gave him to do is, like, kind of dumb. Like, I'll get captured and be forced to eat dog food and listen to Easy Street.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we didn't have, like, didn't even get a really cool, like, Picard, There Are Four Lights payoff to that. I really love what they've been doing ever since that Rick said goodbye on the show. So I guess going back to mid-season 9, it's been, his character's gotten the flower renewal.
Yeah. Odd writes in with a couple of points on the odd motivations of characters. Since I've been catching up with the show along with you guys because of you. Thanks. Has two quick
You're
takes.
Welcome.
One that we kind of pointed out, but is worth mentioning again, I guess, when Boston Rob, takes out Gamma, but neglects to shoot Beta at the same time. I think we talked about that. But he also says, why does Carol put the group at risk if the plan was Negan killing Alpha Black Ops style? That totally wipes away those plot tension with Carol and Daryl. And Odd says that the show is better Gimpeless, but still has clunky motives. That's a good question. We've kind of like danced around it. I don't think we ever talked directly at it, but like the plan, Carol seemed to be getting in the way of her own plan most of the time, right? If the plan was for Negan to go out there and kill Alpha, then all the extra shit she's doing seems like either, if you want to be generous, she's trying to create distractions so that Negan has a way to, worm his way into the trust of Alpha. If you're not being generous, you could say she's just doing a bunch of shit because she's half crazy and suicidal and wants maybe to, or doesn't trust Negan maybe to get the job done. That's, and so she's still trying to do like, it.
I'm of a mind to be somewhat generous with Carol's motivations and say that she just will just take her at her word. Negan was taking too long.
Okay.
Like, he went to the group, he got assimilated by the group, and like, if she was in that situation, she'd just go right for the throat, right?
For sure.
Yeah. You know, Negan's got to dick
her
down.
She would just suicide herself.
Yeah, he's got to do a whole bunch of stuff, and I think that's like, it'd be interesting to rewatch, and I'm never going to do it, but it'd be interesting to rewatch the season with the full knowledge of everything that's happened, because I wonder, like, because there's some odd behavior from Carol, kind of detached behavior in the beginning, which I thought was weird, but it might be evidence of her like, well, I've got a plan in motion and we just kind of need to sit tight for a while. And then as the season wore on, she got more and more insistent on we have to find this warden because she's worried. She's worried that Negan rabbited on her or converted, whichever.
Could be right. And those were always questions that we had about Negan, too. So that would make sense. All right. Ashley says, I just wanted to mention a couple things regarding Michonne's exit from the show. The writers knew Michonne was leaving way ahead of season 10. THR, which I don't know what that stands for, reported
The Hollywood
it.
Reporter.
Ah, yes. Reported it before season 9 ended, and Danai confirmed it at Comic-Con in July 2019. Similarly to Andrew Lincoln, she gave them 5 episodes, and for whatever reason, they decided to break them up instead of giving her a 5-episode like Rick-like arc, which I think would have worked better, both for the story and to send off for the character. As a huge Michonne fan, I was quite ready for her to leave. She's the reason I watched this past the show the past 2 seasons, and honestly, I thought Gimple did his best work with her. And Rick Schoen, I don't know, of course, by really fleshing out her arc, and it's something beautiful.
Uh-huh.
So I'll always appreciate him for that and literally nothing else. I know everyone loves Angela Kang, but I thought her treatment of Michonne in season 9 and the Scars episode in particular was egregious. They would never put any of her white/non-black counterparts in that situation. In fact, the series has always been excessively violent toward Michonne in ways that they weren't toward the other women, starting with her fight against the governor. So I'm glad. I'm just glad it's over. At any rate, her exit was contrived, yes, but all I wanted was for Michonne to find out that Rick was alive and get the fuck out. And that's what they gave me. So I'm satisfied. Danai left The Walking Dead to run her own show, which was thwarted by the pandemic, unfortunately.
Fuck.
Yeah. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I didn't either. Hopefully she can get that back on track. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, people leaving The Walking Dead to do shows has not worked out super well. Maggie comes back after trying to do Whiskey Cavalier, which got one season. It was not renewed.
I imagine that we'll see big things from her. They already have the Black Panther sequel in pre-production, the Wakanda Forever that she's going to be in. I know she'll. I'm certain that we'll get at least one Rick Grimes movie, and I'm sure she'll be stellar in that. It is a bummer. It's a bummer they couldn't use her better. And I'm not going to try to talk you out of the fact that Michonne got traumatized, and that's certainly a trope in Hollywood that you traumatize the women and the minorities for effect. So, it's too bad that they didn't have something better for her to do. And I think that especially they felt, I talked at length already about how I thought they did her dirty, her character dirty and I don't know if she only had 5 episodes and you got a whole season. Cause I remember a lot of people also say like, where's Michonne? Why is Michonne? Well, I actually think I'm kind of impressed that I didn't notice her absence more in the 16 episode run. If they only had 5 episodes to give, or maybe that was just the tail half of the season. I don't know how they do the counting on that.
I don't know.
But yeah, I wish they could have done a little bit better by her. But she's still out there doing her thing, and I guarantee we'll get at least one of those Rick Grimes movies out. And if it makes a couple $100 million, which it probably will make that worldwide, and they'll probably spend $20 million on it. I wouldn't surprise me if we got more. Yeah.
How many of the cast do you think they can get to just do it for free because they're buddies with Nicotero at this point?
Zero. No one does shit for free in Hollywood. Unless it's like some kind of charity shit. And even then, usually behind the scenes, they're getting an appearance fee.
I think you could get at least one person to do it for exposure. I do. Who? If you tell
exposure.
Yeah. If you tell the woman playing Magna that you're going to be up on the big screen. Some
rando fucker. But I thought you were talking about like the big.
Oh, I'm not talking about Andrew Lincoln coming back and doing it for charity. No.
No, well, he's his movie, but I'm talking about like, you're not going to get like Father Gabriel King Jadis? Ezekiel. Jadis, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Look, we'll let you wear your hair however you want this time. Any way you want it, we'll do it up that way. You'll get the exposure. Yeah. Your Instagram will never be bigger. Yeah.
Could do a music number. We'll let you sing.
Oh, dance if you want. Fuck it.
Yeah, do a whole choreography.
Okay, Crystal.
Wait. Let's do a voicemail.
Oh, mother.
We got 4 of them stacked up. I'm tired of hearing you read.
You don't understand. Okay.
Hi, just wanted to leave a message for you guys with a few topics. First, appreciate your podcast. I've been singing the praises of Angela Kang's Walking Dead for the last few years now, and most people don't believe me. The ratings are absolutely terrible right now, so it's nice to know that you guys that were so hard on the early seasons are sort of coming around on the show. It makes me feel a little less crazy. So it looks like you're coming up to the bonus episodes pretty soon. I just wanted to let you guys know that the quote-unquote fandom was not... There was a big portion of them that were pretty disappointed in the bonus episodes. Now, personally, I think if you go in with the caveat knowing that there's only going to be a couple characters per episode, and mostly going to be bottle episodes, more slower paced, and not really going to progress the plot forward, I think you'll enjoy it a lot more. A lot of people just didn't.
That's been my frustration. That's been one of the frustrations of being in talking about The Walking Dead, is because you've always had this two parts of the fan base, the ones from the beginning who kind of were hoping it was going to be a prestige drama, and the way the AMC continued to treat it as a prestige drama. And they were always in contrast to the people who are just like, oh, it's just like, turn your brain off and watch the zombie action. Well, you know, it's fair to say that in the last couple seasons, they've catered more to the latter than the former. And then to do a huge U-turn and do like deep, you know, people comparing it to the Fly episode, the Breaking Bad, which I love, but like that's, yeah, I love that shit. I love the character, the deep character, thematic growth stuff. And that's honestly taking six episodes to like shore up some of these characters is probably what the show needs. But the like zombie action, shoot 'em up, pow, pow, turn your brain off. Like that shit's boring. Like what is happening? Where's the action? No one got so I can see that, but like that's not what draws me to The Walking Dead. So I'm probably going to be in hog heaven.
Yeah, I think so too. It's you know, interesting coming back to this show after it has switched gears so many times, because I think that's the real issue that The Walking Dead has had. It's had so many showrunners, it's had so many different tones over the course of these 11 years or whatever it's been, that, you know, every time they do that, they turn off a segment of the audience that was there for something else, or they run that risk at least. And, you know, after having two seasons that really sucked, like 7 and 8 were god awful. It made us stop podcasting the show. And then coming back and now doing something better with the show, you know, or like doing some action based stuff and then switching to character stuff. I feel like a lot of people are turned off just by the change of pace, right? It's not why they were watching the show. And so when you go on a run of 6 episodes that are more character based and bottle episodes and stuff, you run the risk of people just going, maybe that's not for me. I'm just not going to watch those. But I'm sure those people will be back for season 11. Like anybody who liked season 10, I'm sure you come back for the mainline stuff in season 11.
I'm curious to see if they can build the audience, because they still had 4 million people watching this. And then the pandemic happened. And when they came back, like they had like 3.7 million people watching the penultimate episode. They take a year off and then people come back and that audience dropped to 2.7. That's 1 million people just over the course of the pandemic. With the final season, and those numbers never recovered, like they hover just above 2 for all of the extended episodes. The bonus episodes. I'm really hoping some people come back to the fold like us, if they've heard it's good and like this is the final no shit season. And I'm curious to see if like those numbers actually build, because it's kind of been, for the last few seasons, it's keeps going down and down and down the average. So it'd be nice to pump that back up for the last season. We'll see.
It's tough because the numbers haven't been super high for a long time, right? The trajectory has been down. So it's not like, oh, you've got people who maybe skipped a season and need to catch up. No, these, like the vast majority of people who used to watch The Walking Dead when it was doing 14, 15 million per week, fell off like 4 seasons ago. And for them to come back to this season, they're going to have to go back and watch 60 episodes of television to really get back in. So like
12 million people were watching at the start of season. Is this season 8? At the start of season 8.
No. That
12
many?
12 million people were still.
All right,
maybe
I'm wrong about that then. Maybe like they only have to catch up with 9 and 10 and
I think, but that's still like, that's, I'm saying the high watermark. And then, you know, at the end of that season, 8 million people were still watching it. So like, there's still a sizable amount of people that are almost caught up. And the thing is, if they go back, like, okay, fuck. Like, it's not like it takes a while to get good. I think season 9 gets really good and very interesting almost right away with the Rick stuff. And then after Rick leaves, it gets even better. So it's not like it's like, so I think if people do give it a chance, and it's the other thing that helps it is like this is all on like Amazon or it's all Netflix. Like you can watch up and up through, I think, the latest 6 episodes on Netflix. There's ways to catch up real fast if you want it. And we're going to try to take a stab at doing a little catch up for people that bailed when we did. You know, if you just want to go into season 11 and just get a catch up for like 9 and 10, we're going to like do a little mini episode to kind of walk people through that, what they've missed, so they can join without, missing out on anything. But we'll see.
And to your point, like we've been forewarned about that these are going to be smaller bottle episodes with more character focused stuff. So and like you, I'm very much a fan of the Fly episode of Breaking Bad. So if they can. You know, if they can write this intelligently and compellingly, I'm in. but we'll see. I'll also just go ahead and play this next part of it because I think Chris called back after he got cut off here. So we may have dry pied him. Who knows? Let's find out real quick.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
House of the Dragon Season 2 is coming up sooner than you think. And to get us all back in that Leal state of mind, Aaron and I have teamed up with Maester Anthony to bring you coordinated coverage, new and old. For the next 10 weeks leading up to Season 2, Maester Anthony will be releasing an episode of his Season 1 coverage on the Hot D podcast. He originally recorded and released it exclusively on his Double Dragon podcast, so while it's retro coverage, it's almost certainly new to you.
In addition, each Friday, Jim and I will be reading the relevant sections of George Martin's Targaryen history book, Fire and Blood, so that we can compare and contrast it to that week's episode of Hot D Season 1. So grab a copy of Fire and Blood and read along with us if you're so inclined. Just don't read ahead unless you enjoy spoilers.
If that's not enough to satisfy your craving for fantasy entertainment, well, you're in luck. We recently watched King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which is Guy Ritchie's uniquely stylish and anachronistic riff on the King Arthur legend. Yes, Guy Ritchie took on the most famous of all English legends and did it with huge ambitions. Sadly, or perhaps thankfully, depending on your tastes, his ambitions were cut short by meager audience interest. Join us for the podcast this Tuesday as we discuss why that might have been and whether this retelling is any good.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Hi, I think my message might have been cut off. I didn't realize it was only a minute long. As for the Daryl Carroll spinoff, it's possible that it's going to be a big red herring and they might die or something awful happened to them at the end of season 11. Just because something kind of similar happened at the end of the comics, where Robert Kirkman announced a few issues that didn't actually end up happening. So I think it's possible that this whole show is a big red herring, but I don't know if AMC has the balls to pull that off. As for a couple questions, I was wondering who you guys' favorite characters are going forward, or who seems the most interesting, both the OG characters and the newer post season 9 characters. And also, I am absolutely dying to know how you guys feel about The Last of Us 2. Thank you guys. Keep up the great work.
Well, thank you. So I think it would be pretty ballsy to do a smoke screen show, but it's kind of like what they would have to do to really shake off the dumpster fire bullshit. like something that's like, yeah. But like I did the idea that you could get like Norman Reedus and Melissa McBride on board with something like that.
Do a publicity tour.
Man,
if it is a red herring, hats off to him. This is like a great.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. That would be pretty fucking awesome. As long as I knew that Melissa McBride and Norman Reedus were in on it. Like if they got paid to do this as a couple million just for like paid promotion without having to sweat in Georgia.
Yeah, and you're gonna pull some Carl bullshit on him. Like, oh yeah, move to Georgia. Signed up at the college here, buy a house, man. Come on in.
Yeah. Put down roots. We're gonna be here for a year. Yeah, that would be some bullshit, but that would be honestly pretty awesome. I don't think it's gonna happen, but going forward, it's hard to beat Carol and Daryl.
Yes.
For interesting characters, especially since Carol's got a little bit like I'm kind of not liking her and she needs to like do some things to kind of win me back. As far as the new characters, like I'm really interested in Princess. She seems like just a straight up better version of Eugene. Father Gabriel has been super interesting this last season. Detective Carver, real badass. Suddenly. Like him.
It's definitely Negan for me. Like he's the guy that I want to see evolve and change. And I just want to see where that goes.
And it's a good sign that we can't count our favorite characters that we're interested in the next season on just one hand.
On one finger sometimes, depending on the season, right?
Yeah. Like this is a nice problem that there's like multiple people and storylines that we're invested in. How they can integrate Maggie and like, you know, what she was doing with Georgie back into the main timeline. I'm very interested in seeing how they do that. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of stuff to look forward to.
Kind of interested in Lydia. I mean, I want to see her like knock the teeth of a couple of feisty teens in.
Sure.
Couple more teeth need to be murdered. I don't know.
As far as The Last of Us 2, I love that game. I thought that game was really amazing. And it's it's so applicable to a lot of different situations today too, in terms of like, you know, eternal revenge cycles that people get stuck into. I felt manipulated, but in the best way.
Yeah.
Like I even remember thinking like I can tell what they're going for, and I'm like, oh man, it seems like. But by the end of it, it felt very emotionally satisfying to be, because like they were far more successful. I don't want to spoil anything because you should definitely play the game. The game came out less than a year ago, but they were far more successful of making me do the thing emotionally, empathize with the person they wanted me to empathize with that I thought was like a quarter way through the game. Like, there's no fucking way you're going to ask me to do it. And I'm going to fucking play the game because I want to see, but like, I'm going to hate it and I'm going to think it's stupid. And like, I was very surprised at how like, and this is very applicable. Once you find out the other side, the people that you hate, how they live and how they, you know, what's important to them, their hopes and dreams, what they're afraid of, what motivates them. It's the same shit that motivates you, man. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a really like almost unique that like only a video game could do something like that.
Yeah, it was definitely effective. I think there were moments in that from time to time that I was like, that didn't quite connect, or like it probably was a little too long. I know that like part of that was forcing you to stay with a character that you hated for a long time until you stopped hating her. But like, also I got there way before the game did. So I didn't need like the extra 4 hours or whatever of game time, but I really enjoyed that game. I think it's definitely worth playing. Chris, it probably sounds like you've played it and you want to know what we think of it. If you really want to know, we did an off the clock episode after we played that game, talking all about it. So I don't know, just go to the website and search.
We might have done a couple. Yeah.
Yeah, we might have.
It's a premium podcast, so you'll have to support baldmove.com if you want to hear it. But yeah, if you want, and hey, it's free 30-day trial. Nothing stopping you from setting a trial and canceling afterward and just stealing the content, filling your pockets.
Sure.
Steal a game of chicken we like to play. Will you remember to cancel before the billing cycle renews? But there you go.
All right, let's jump back over to emails because, God damn it, they're so much easier.
Yeah.
Crystal.
Switch rails.
Crystal says, I was always wondering, how would Rick know that Judith currently looks what Judith currently looks like when he and Jada slept in the chopper when she was still a toddler? That etching on the cell phone shows an older Judith with long hair and the sheriff's hat on. It never made sense to me. I thought maybe Rick was held captive with someone who knew Japanese and was artistic enough to maybe sketch their faces with a description from Rick. Curious what you're thinking.
I have no answer to that.
I don't either.
I have no fucking clue.
What Rick hopes for her. Like, the face is generic enough that, like, oh, it's a girl face, and yeah, she'd grow out her hair because girls grow out their hair in our society.
I thought I read something that implied that Jadis carved that for him, which implies that Jadis has kept track of them somehow.
Oh, I don't like that.
Nah, there might be some sinister implications to it, or it could just be they fucking, like, because I was a little, I remember, I didn't think about that at all because, like, Rick disappeared so long ago, I forgot.
Right.
It was pre-time jump.
It was 5 years of time jump.
Right, and you come back and she's a grown, yeah. Yeah, that's not great.
I mean, if I'm being charitable, it's like what he would hope for her, right?
Right.
That she'd wear his hat and be mm-hmm. like him and all this stupid shit, sentimental bull crap.
Yeah. Or it's like, wait, but like, I can't even remember Rick's phone, Walking Dead.
Thrill images. To the Marvels live research.
Yeah, you're right. Because like, I was thinking, like, well, maybe that's Michonne. But they're both. It's Michonne and Judith, and it looks like present day Michonne and Judith. Yeah, that doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense.
Yep.
Oh well.
Crystal caught it.
You caught us thinking about The Walking Dead too hard.
All right.
But seriously, tighten that shit up, Angela. Come on. You're there. You're 90% there. Just screw it down a few more turns.
Yeah, just push Nicotero aside anytime he tries to step behind the camera and sit in the director's chair. Just shove him to the ground.
Who's the director of Tombstone and Cobra?
George P. Cosmatos, yeah.
Treat him like George P. Cosmatos. That's good suggestions, Nick. Good. We like that, but we're honestly just going to like just do our own thing.
Yeah.
And you're still going to be the director, but we're just going to kind of do our own thing.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to go in a different direction. All right. Oh, one more email here, Josh. Nope, we already did Josh, so fuck it, we're back to the voicemails, the bane of my existence. We've got at least two
By the way, thank you for leaving them on stereo.com/ballmove. Really appreciate it. Jim does not speak for both of the hosts here.
God.
thanks for hitting that button and recording us a message.
All right, here we go.
Hey guys, I was curious that now that you've seen the finale of the regular season, if you had any, speculative or like hopes of what the 6 additional episodes were going to be. Keeping in mind that these were filmed during the lockdown, so that pretty limited actors in each one. So it kind of, it is a very specific storyline, bottle episode. So I was just really curious what you guys wanted to see or what you think they're going to be. Can't wait to hear. Thanks.
What do you think, Jim?
I want to see an episode where Princess romances a stormtrooper. Just a whole episode.
Look a little short for a stormtrooper.
I'm tall where it counts, baby. Yeah.
Laying down.
You should see my laser gun. I don't know, man.
There's a Negan origin episode that I'm very excited for.
Uh-huh.
That by all accounts is pretty amazing. I actually hope that they take some of the tertiary characters that are still kind of like some of the new. Well, no, fuck her. But like Yumiko and the professor and Kelly and Connie. Like an episode or two to flesh those characters out, like flashback to that small group and see a little bit. Cause like they are now kind of like our stalwarts, right? We've mm-hmm. been around them for a season and a half and they need to step up and fill some big shoes, some Rick and Michonne size boots. And I don't think they're there yet. It would be great to get more information about Diane, the mildly competent bow girl that keeps coming up and keeps showing up. Yeah. I wrote her name down.
You know her name.
She earned her name.
Shit.
like Jerry and his wife, I would like to see some stuff, not just like as much as I like to see more Carol and Daryl stuff, and I'd like to see what Maggie's been up to. Mm-hmm. I think it would be wise, and what I'm hoping for is that they realize that, is to get back and like prop up some of these other characters. So that they, you know, we've got a full stable of three dimensional characters going into season 11. What are the odds of that? Probably low. I imagine they're going to hit the main cast pretty hard.
Yeah.
And with individual episodes, but I hope there's time for them to flesh out some of those tier two characters, because they need it.
I think there almost has to be, unless they're going to save this for season 11, which they definitely could. There almost has to be an episode with like Virgil and Connie, because that whatever's going to happen with them can't really happen outside of a bottle episode, right? Because they're going to be stuck together for a little while she's recovering.
Yeah. That's a good one.
So either they do that during these six, or they wait until season 11 and do that at the beginning. Negan, I know that there's a Negan episode. I don't know what happens in it, but I know that he is kind of the star of one of those. So I'm super excited for that. Maggie definitely has to get some kind of bottle episode, and I know she does. I don't know. What about like a Daryl and Carol episode? You probably don't want to do that if the spinoff is not a gigantic smokescreen. You're going to have plenty of time with those characters. I don't know that we need to get a whole lot done emotionally with them over the next season.
Yeah.
Save that.
All right.
Yeah. That's probably about it though. All right. We got one last voicemail, and it's probably going to be putting me through the ringer for dismissing his email for its biblical length, his biblical proportions. But Yusef has written in, or called in rather. So let's get to that.
Aaron, Yusef here. Hope you can get to my written feed this week. I sent it in, but I couldn't pass up a chance to get my voice on the podcast that got me into podcasts in the first place 8 years ago. So anyway, about the Michonne episode, do you think you would have liked it better going in not knowing that it's Denai's last episode? Because I liked it just fine despite the shortcomings. Then I found myself taking a similar stance as you guys after I found out it was probably an AMC ploy to get her off the credits early. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that it just felt a little like, and that's the last few episodes felt a little out of place. Like they were not in the right order. They suffered from having to have Denai off on a single episode because they're limited to how many episodes they could have her. And yeah, like I don't even know if I believe that they tried to get her off. That was just a speculation of my part but like the fact that they immediately tore her name down off of that sign felt a little spiteful. And I know that this show is not above being that kind of level of petty with its stars.
Yeah. Ask Frank Darabont how petty this production can be.
Ask any, a handful of people that have
Chandler Riggs, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the guy played Jesus was not very happy with the way they handled him. And so there's been a lot of people that felt ill used by The Walking Dead. But, you know, on the other hand, obviously it's a great opportunity for Denai, and she has, you know, raised her profile super huge. And now she's in part of the biggest projects on the planet. So, you know, I'm sure the pocketbook helps assuage any of those bumps and bruises. But I wish they could have figured out a way to make that flow just a little bit better. And it feels like that's the original sin of the last part of this season, that kind of Michonne bottle episode just kind of goofed up the pacing of everything. And then the pandemic, that's the other thing. I think a lot of those episodes felt like they probably would have done a few reshoots or had a couple more takes or to make it flow a little better. And they just didn't because everything kind of shut down. So.
Yeah, I think it definitely would have changed my perception of that episode. I'm not sure I would have believed that Michonne was actually gone. I might have thought this was just a setup for bringing like the next group, because you know, going into season 11, we're like, okay, if they dispatch the Whisperers, where is the next threat going to come from? Or where is the drama and tension going to come from next season? Well, maybe Michonne is picking up the group that will, you know, start that drama and tension. So I would have assumed that she was just going to come right back, you know, maybe do another time jump, say, oh, I didn't find Rick. I hit a dead end, but I found these people. But yeah, knowing it's her last episode, I definitely had my perspective on it changed.
It blows my mind that they marketed this as the final episode of Michonne.
Dude.
Like, that's just like, yeah. And they did the same thing with Rick, I heard, too. I was talking to Jason Kabasi over on the Walking Dead cast contemporaneously, and they're like, no, they said that it's going. I'm like, why would you do that?
I don't know, man.
Why? Like, it'd be such a huge, but yeah, and the thing is like, look, okay, does it actually help the ratings? When I look at these seasons, like, it doesn't seem like they got a bounce. So it's like, it's not even doing the thing that they wanted to do. If I look here, Rick's final episode. No.
Yeah. I mean, no. AMC has never been able to keep their mouth shut about what they're doing. Trying to generate hype for an episode.
Yeah.
It's just not something they do. They take the approach of people will show up if they know something big is going to happen, regardless of how much it spoils the episode for people.
Right.
There's gotta be a term for that.
When is the, Michonne? I was trying to think when Michonne's last episode was, but yeah, I was just looking. It's like, doesn't seem like any of these gambits have even like even a blip, like a 500,000 more people tuned in that week. So it's like, yeah, stop doing that. Like, you know, just like the fans that you still have, keep them by like blowing their minds. And then like, what's better than Danai Gurira surprising everybody by showing up on The Talking Dead to announce that this was indeed her last episode after the fact, after the tension's already been built and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's better. It, like, you're not getting another million people to watch. So just fucking really service the fans you've got. But I don't know. It's the last season. What the fuck? Like, there's almost nothing they sure. can do. They've already spoiled the two most popular characters are not going to die. Yeah. So I don't know what more damage they could do. But man, this show would be like, I'm just thinking about like, imagine if they did that with a Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones wouldn't be half the show it was if like, oh, this is a
the Red Wedding.
Sean Bean's last episode. This is going to be. Yeah.
All your favorites.
And they
are
even tried
die.
To do the opposite. They tried to do the opposite where they have a fake out death and they get all their actors to be like play ball. Like, oh, yeah, it's my last episode. Tee hee. Like The Walking Dead's like the only show that kind of does this that I know of in this era of television where they just the marketing team just leads the story like people off the cliff like so many fucking zombies. It sucks. They should stop it.
Let me ask you this, because we have talked many times about how there's this new era of television with the internet where the audience will figure out your plot well before you do,
right.
Where production leaks get blown out and noticed by everyone, where, you know, an actor is scheduled to be on another show for season one, like Maggie, for instance, and you realize, oh, they can't possibly do both of these shows at the same time. And so the cat's out of the bag, right? Is this just AMC's response to that new paradigm in television fandom?
If it is, it's a shitty response because there's always been the case that people that read the trade mags and see that like, oh, this person just signed a long-term deal to this other show, which means they're probably going to be written out of. There's always been people that can connect those dots. But like that's where you'd have to be reading Hollywood Reporter, you'd have to read Variety, you'd have to like find the places where they're actually talking about that stuff. And like it's a whole different game.
Reddit. Yeah. It's
it's a whole different game than someone casually watching the show. Because it's always there's always an order of magnitude more people doing the less thing than the like if you're listening to a podcast, there's 10 times, 100 times more people that are watching The Walking Dead without listening to a podcast. If you're on Reddit, there's 100 times more people that aren't. If you're reading the comic, there's 100 times more people that haven't read the comic. So cater to those people. And it's a big difference for Alan Sepinwall in a review saying, you know, I've noticed that Danai Gurira is starting a new show and she's probably going to, it's a big difference in that. And then the AMC guy being like, welcome to Michonne's final episode. Next week, Michonne checks off for the last, like everybody sees that. You can't help it.
Well, they put episode that they're playing, right? Like AMC does this thing where the promo for the episode runs within the episode itself. Right before the episode starts. And so you can't avoid it.
It wouldn't even surprise me. They did the like countdown, 3 episodes of Michonne left. Like it's just, it's terrible. It's dumb. And I know why the marketing people want to do it, but somebody needs to fucking get a hold of those people and slap them around and try. Imagine they did that during the Breaking Bad era.
Oh God.
Like if they were like, Tuco's last episode, say goodbye to Gus Fring with like, get the fuck out of here with this, man. It's not good. It's not good.
Yeah, I agree.
Say goodbye to Mike when he like, that's not what the fans, that's not, who is this for? And again, look at your own fucking stats, man. It does. You're getting a dead cat bounce. Mm-hmm. If anything. From these horseshit tactics.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's not working for me, and I don't know if it's working for anybody, but they continue to do it, and they probably will.
Last season, I don't expect them to change. No. But,
last season of this show, but they got 5 other shows running, and they're probably going to do the same thing with all those. This is just what AMC does. It's their game plan.
I also wonder how much we enjoyed these episodes because we were completely insulated from all that horseshit watching it. Like watching season 11 live and like being unable to avoid this crap. I wonder if it's going to like annoy me that like, it'd be nice to not know that Aaron's going to die next episode, but they got the countdown to the death of fucking Aaron.
They build a website around it with the timer counting down and
say goodbye to Ross Marquand as Aaron's going to get his dick split in half next episode. It's going to be something. Goodbye Carrie Payton finally succumbs to neck cancer and you're going to, it's like, no, come on. Yeah.
Say hello to Emily Kinney, who returns as a country Western singer.
Full moon. You enjoyed Half Moon. Now we got the full moon. It's coming out. Yeah. Let surprise us every once in a while.
Sure. All right. That's it, man. That's going to do it for our coverage of the real season 10, what I call the real season 10. We still have, like you mentioned last podcast, those 6 bonus episodes that we will be coming back for. We're not going to do them right now. We're going to give it a few weeks of off time, and then we're coming back with a 6-week run of those episodes leading up to the premiere of season 11. So everybody who is going to be checking out season 11 with us and checked out season 10, follow us 6 weeks before then. We'll be doing those
episodes.
Yeah,
and if you're a big fan of pulpy stuff like The Walking Dead, we got a bunch of stuff. A new season of Rick and Morty. We do Pickle Me This. We do a podcast on that.
I covered Army of the Dead with Jason from The Walking Dead cast. That's a shit movie.
You sure did.
Right along the lines of some of the worst of Walking Dead. So go for that.
We also have, again, we'll be coming back July 13th for the remainder of the bonus episodes of season 10. That'll take us right up to the beginning of season 11. We also are doing in the beginning of July a badass movie festival where we're revisiting some of our favorite classic 80s action films.
Hoo-wee.
Predator, Cobra, Bloodsport.
Yeah.
And others.
Under Siege,
we're going to be doing that.
I think is the
I was going to tease the Seagal one, but I think
it's
Under Siege.
No, fuck it. This is the one where Steven Seagal dies.
Say goodbye to Steven Seagal. This our review of Under Siege is going to be the thing that does him in. Say goodbye to Steven Seagal when
he's dyed his hair black 1 too many times. Forget about it. His scalp is done.
Had 3 too many cheeseburgers and it's all gone to shit. Come back. We got lots of cool stuff. Plus, if you like the more prestigious stuff, we're until some prestige television comes back, we're doing a classic highbrow-ish movie every week on the prestige feed to keep that warm. So lots of Bald Move coming. Also, tons more at support.baldmove.com if you want to step up and be a club member or patron. Lots more weekly content and
gonna
bonus
be doing
content
Loki
over there too.
Loki over on the pulp feed, yeah.
Right. Yeah, going to be doing a weekly episode discussion of that. So lots of stuff coming. And then The Walking Dead's only going to be gone for 6 weeks until it comes back forever, it'll feel like. The Eternal Watch of Season 11.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of fun. And thanks for everyone calling in and giving us the stereo messages. Thanks for everyone's emails. And for everyone that's downloaded and given us an attaboy. We really appreciate it. We'll be back in a couple weeks if none of this other stuff is attractive to you. You know, but we'll get back to Walking Dead just in 6 weeks. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
Later.